Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
WTIC's Computer Talk with Tab is brought to you by GoNetSpeed, your choice for crazy fast fiber internet. This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. I can't hear myself. Do you hear me? Oh, there we go. 11 o'clock, taking your computer calls, comments, questions, and concerns. Dennis is Dennis Halnan, one of the engineers and owners at Tab Computer Systems.
Owner!
Yes, we're all owners now. Yeah, he comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. So feel free to get online. The 9 o'clock hour is easier than the 10. You guys all seem to sleep in, which I don't blame you. But
especially this morning.
We got two pasty white computer geeks here in the studio that are looking to help you out. So feel free to get online and we'll do our best. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. So, Dennis, what do you got for news? Anything good you want to talk about?
Well, we have a Connecticut company.
Yes.
That was hosting websites mainly for school districts.
Yes.
Only they weren't hosting them.
Not really.
And guess what happened? They all went down because malefactors took over control of them.
Right.
And I guess, are they back up and running at this point?
I think they're pretty much back up, but they were down for a good 4 days, I guess.
Yeah. And I have a Heart for Current article about this.
Mm-hmm. And we'll put a link to it.
Yeah, we'll put a link up to it. It doesn't really say what happened exactly.
Well, they did admit some sort of ransomware occurred.
Right. There was a ransomware involved.
Attacked.
And they didn't say exactly how they got, whoever it was, got into their systems.
Right.
But I believe you did a little checking.
Well, I've tried to do some checking on this. I was on with Brian and company to talk about it as well. Because Brian and company had William Tong on, our attorney general. And I thought the angle for that was going to be, you know, these websites promise the world and don't deliver it. And is there going to be a consequence to these outages? It wasn't one website that went down. It was like 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 websites.
Yeah.
And if you go to Final Sites, their website, they talk about, you know, you can be worry free because we don't even host your site. We put it on the Google Cloud, and Google Cloud does things like promise immediate recovery.
Well, really?
I guess maybe if you maybe had to reload one page, you could do that immediately. But 5,000 sites doesn't seem to be immediate over 4 days to me.
Yeah, not unless the dictionary definition of immediate changed since I
It's more
last
like
read it.
I was thinking about it. It's more like when I asked my kids to clean their room, they said they would do it, and I asked them to do it immediately. And 4 or 5 days later, that was immediate to them. So that's kind of where we were. And Google, you know, they on their own website, they talk about, we don't host a site. You know, you can be worry-free because we put it on the Google Cloud. And, you know, you look at the scenarios of why, you know, they're putting it on the Google Cloud, best in class. And, you know, they talk about things like, well, Google locks the data center. You know, they have locks. They have little security. Well, what does that do? It didn't do anything, right? I mean, Okay. I mean, I lock my doors too. But if you're coming in with a sledgehammer, you're coming in.
Yeah.
So the question to your point is, what happened?
Right.
Right? So what kind of... It's a failure of imagination to understand what happened. Either somebody that was accessing the Google system that housed all these sites from within Final Site possibly was compromised. The account was compromised.
Right.
And they got access and did their nefarious deeds.
Mm-hmm.
They maybe paid somebody on the inside to say, hey, give me your password. Can I go in there and I'll give you 10 grand? Because, you know, I'm going to give it access. And so you find somebody on the inside to compromise.
Yeah, that happens.
All the time. Social engineering occurs where the person gets tricked into thinking, oh, you're the president of the company. I'll let you in.
Right. Or somebody gets an email that there's a problem with the hosting. Log in to fix it.
Right.
Only you're not going to the real site. You're going to...
And you're giving the credentials.
Right.
There's so many things that could have occurred here. But the point is this. The cloud promises instant recovery and instant elasticity and instant ability to keep you up and running. And the people who purchase the cloud service are sold this bill of goods. Right. And again, I thought William Tong was going to be like, I'm tired of this garbage. We're going to do something about it. Well, this kind of segues into my article.
Yes.
The UK, they have UK regulators to scrutinize cloud resilience in response to financial services sector's reliance on the fluffy stuff, which is how they describe
the cloud.
The Bank of England, the watchdog, seeks more oversight into critical third parties, eyes up outages and cyber attacks. Exactly. So if you've listened to the show at all for the past, 15 years when the cloud became something, we've been saying this. It's just somebody else's servers. And I don't know how many outages you really need to see before you're like, hey, wait a minute. From the Kronos outage where you've got fire departments and folks whining about the fact that they don't know if Bob's scheduled to be on call or not. It's a life or death thing. Well, look, fire department, you may want to use some paper too, because the cloud goes down. Yes. From Elekta, who went down just a little while back to provide services to cancer doctors, they couldn't actually do the work.
Right.
And then what are they going to do? They ran out servers to the cancer doctors to get them back up and running. How crazy is that? So, the cloud regulators here in the UK are wondering, hey, wait a minute. We're looking at all these folks going to, five or six providers. Google is one of them as well. And they need to really get some more operational oversight to make sure that they are actually going to be up and running and not go down the way they've been going down.
Right.
5,000 sites going down at the same time is a big problem.
It's a huge problem. And it seems to me that a lot of the cloud hosting providers talk a good game, but when push comes to shove and something actually happens, they're not able to recover the data as quickly as they should.
The operations.
And it's not even, Final Sight is depending on Google probably to do that for them.
Well, they've sold the same bill of goods.
Right. They've been sold a bill of goods. They probably never went through a recovery process.
Well,
it is possible to emulate your
outages.
Site crashing,
right,
and then go through the process of recovering it. How come that never occurred?
Right. I don't know how many times you get a warning from your paycheck provider saying, hey, we're on a system maintenance is going to occur. Well, they could have done that, right? They could have said, all right, let's bring an outage, some evening at 3 in the morning.
Yes.
Bring down all 5,000 sites and say, how long is it going to take to come back up and running? But Joey, you want to say something? Joey wants to chime in.
Well, I had one of those text messages yesterday from Amazon to confirm my order.
Yeah.
Now, if you've ever ordered anything from Amazon in the past, which most people I'm sure have, they've never texted me in the past to confirm an order.
Right.
I'm like, no, block is spam.
So you get another phishing attack where they want you to confirm and you'd enter your credentials and now they're Joey and now they're going to go ahead and order whatever they want on Joey's account.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep, so that's called smishing. I think it's called a smishing attack.
Smishing.
A lot of it's, unfortunately, common sense.
Right.
But people question that a lot of times.
You're right. So, however, whatever happened to, the Final Sites folks, however they got in and had the ransomware hit the Google servers, we'll probably never know. The FBI might know because they're probably involved in figuring it out. Google's probably working really hard to, get back to their worry-free status.
right. Yeah, okay.
But we'll put a link to hear what the UK is doing. And we've found that, it turns out the Europeans seem to be way ahead of us in privacy and all sorts of things.
Yeah, the EU, which the UK is no longer part of, but they've had GDPR for, a few years now?
Mm-hmm.
And that's way ahead of anything that's happening here in the States.
Yeah, yeah.
And so. We got to start thinking this way.
We do. I'll put the link up here. You can look at what they're doing. And so what else would you also want to bring up there, Dennis?
Oh, here's one of the things that really tweaks me.
Mm-hmm.
When you get toner cartridge.
Yeah.
And you put it into your printer and it doesn't work because it thinks it's not a genuine toner cartridge.
Right.
And you can't use the printer.
Nope.
You can't even use the scanner because the whole thing deactivates it thinks you put a counterfeit cartridge in.
And it's like magenta is out and now you can't print in black anymore.
And you can't even scan.
Yeah.
Now, It turns out that Canon
yep.
is having trouble getting chips
mm-hmm.
that they put into the cartridges that tell the printers that it's genuine.
Mm-hmm.
So what's happened is a lot of people have been buying cartridges, putting them in.
Right.
The printer tells them it's not a genuine cartridge.
Right.
And what does Canon do?
I know what
they do. Turn around and tell everybody how to make an end run around their own DRM.
I love it.
Right. They put in this whole protocol
mm-hmm.
to prevent counterfeiting.
Right.
And now they have to tell customers how to work around it. And I'm even thinking, did they violate the DMCA just by doing that? I don't know. Probably
don't know.
Not.
Probably it's not. Their it's own, their own product.
It's their own, yeah, it's their own control.
Cats and dogs living can. Together. It's crazy. That's
but,
what we're dealing with.
I mean, it just does my heart good to
yeah.
see that they've been forced to face the music
yeah.
and on these schemes.
Any manufacturer has this thing, the same yeah. scenario. It's not just Canon. HP does the
oh,
same
they
thing.
All do.
They all do it.
Even Brother.
Yeah. And if you want to save a few bucks. However, sometimes you get something that's too cheap and it causes problems in the machine. But toner is toner is toner as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
But that's just me. But we'll put a link up there to see so you can go ahead and figure out how to defeat your Canon copiers. Prevention of counterfeit toner cartridges. Anything else you want to bring up before we go to our first break?
Well, we've got, along the lines of privacy and legal policy in the United
yeah.
States,
yeah.
there is proposed legislation in Congress
mm-hmm.
that would force companies to provide a simple plain language translation of their terms of service.
The EULA.
Right. So when you sign up for Netflix and you've got, 20 pages of legalese that you're mm-hmm. technically agreeing to,
right.
This bill would force Netflix or whoever to provide a simple, short explanation of what those terms are.
Written in eighth grade level. Reading.
Yes. And it's about time we had something like that.
Yeah.
And it's wonderful that they're doing it. I just hope that these companies actually make it easy to get these little translations.
Well, even that cookie warning that comes up when you go ahead and look at the cookie warning and you try to figure out which cookies you want to allow or not. I mean, I don't want to allow any of them. I use the Brave browser now. But, that's going to be a thing where it's going to say, like, so here's your explanation. And the bottom line is going to say, no service for you if you don't agree to it anyways.
Yes.
So at least you'll know what you're agreeing to versus not knowing. But you're still gonna click yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, you have to in order to use the service.
Right.
But at least there's something
yes.
that kind of gives you an idea of what you might be walking into.
So that's a proposal? It's not coming?
It's proposed legislation.
All right. So we'll yeah. see when that happens.
And it has sponsors in both the House and the Senate.
It seems like something everyone can agree on.
Helps a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah, it is. And exactly. That's what I'm thinking.
Very good. All right. We're going to step out for a quick break. We're going to get all these things posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. We are broadcasting live over at WTIC's Facebook page. So if you want to check that out and post any questions there as well, we'll do our best to help you out, bring them up. But we're going to step out for a quick break. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
And we are here till 11 o'clock. So feel free to get online. I know it's chilly out there, so you're not outside. You can cuddle up with your computer, and I'm sure if you're using Norton 365 LifeLock and the crypto miner's cranking, it's going to keep you nice and warm.
Oh, no.
It'll keep you nice and warm and cozy. We can talk about that story, too, if you haven't heard about it. But let's get to your calls. We're going to go right to Sandy in Lebanon first. What's happening, Sandy?
All right. Good morning.
Morning.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a question. So I'm a registered nurse.
Mm-hmm.
I live in Connecticut. And I see my address, my name, including my middle initial, my address, including my street number,
right,
et cetera, on Google search. So it's like, hey, I know it's Google. They're huge. They're bigger than life,
mm-hmm.
whatever.
Yeah.
So then I tried some places has an opt-out when I plug in my name, and I could go and say, hey, remove my information or whatever, fill up the form. But now I still see some information, and one place, it's called opengovus.com.
OpenGov?
Presume, Yeah, what is that? Is that a Connecticut company?
I don't know what that is. We can look it up real quick. I'm sure Dennis is doing that right now. But, you know, your information is, you know, your address is kind of public. It's kind of hard not to hide it. But OpenGov sounds just like, you know, it could be just a it could be just for voter registration rolls.
It looks like OpenGov is a provider of IT services to government agencies and jurisdictions.
Yeah. Well, you're right. And it says Connecticut license. So I have a Connecticut nurse's license, right?
Yeah.
So
they want to look you up, Sandy, to make sure it's valid.
Well, guess what? I just quit my job a little while ago because I don't want to deal with what's going on, whatever.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
A few years, right? I've done my time.
Okay.
So
you want to get off that site? You want to get off that site. You may have to reach out to them.
I emailed them, and I sent, I mean, I can't call them. There's no number. Why does the state of Connecticut have me an inactive nurse because they don't allow you to just pull out your license?
Right.
Why are they still putting my information or making it available? I am so annoyed with this.
I can tell. So there's two things, right? I can see why they may want to know if there's any inactive folks like you, because in an emergency situation, they might ask you or beg you or plead with you to come back and help out, right?
Well,
they did.
I don't think so, because when the pandemic started, I emailed them and asked them if they need me to give some vaccine. They never answered me.
Well, we're not going to say that the government's going to do very well at that, but that might, I'm just telling you,
true.
You asked why. I mean, actually, execution, come on. If you saw the home kits delivered, that didn't go so well. I mean, you really don't need too many examples. So I would tell you to reach out to, like, the, you know, if you want, you could, again, the Attorney General's office, folks like that, or Consumer Protection, they might have a way for you to try to get these folks to get you off a list if you want to get it off, but maybe not. There might be a requirement that you filled out as the nurse that says, we, the government, now have your information forever, and, you know, right? I mean, who knows what you signed up for?
You are so correct. We own you.
Yes, but I think Google does have some level of right to be forgotten, right? Is that something?
Have a way of asking you to be removed.
Right. Yeah. If you move to the UK, you'll have more power to do that.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Or the EU.
EU. I keep saying UK. EU is what I really mean to say. So, Sandy, I'm sorry we weren't able to fully give you the ability to get out, but you're going to have to do some work there, I think.
Yeah, but let me ask you this.
Hang on, Sandy. I got a hard break. You want to hold on?
Yeah, of course.
All right, we'll put you on hold. We'll be right back. Well, you know, we'll bring back our caller here, Sandy, and see what she's got cooking again. So you kind of heard, Sandy, how if you really want to opt out.
I think you aimed that at me, right?
Ma'am, I thought it was a very good story you should probably hear. So if you want to get off Google, if you don't want to do Google anymore, as our vice president does, you can go to the hinterlands and to the box.
I hear you.
So what's up? What else did you want to ask about?
So, Eric.
Yes.
I think, of course, all of these websites that post your information, of course, it's an income generator. Like 10 years ago, you couldn't find as much. Now you're like, hey, you're like all over the place. However, the state and, you know, from what you said, I'll contact the attorney general and state rep and even the governor office and of course no help there, but I'll ask them to see why is it that somebody who has a license has to have their address in depth, in detail, including their house number. Could they just put the town if they want to? I mean, it just seems like they don't need to put all that. The state knows where you are. They know where I am. They know where Eric Summer was.
Yep.
They know where everybody is if you live in the state of Connecticut. They don't need to publish your in this date of people threatening you, threatening your family. You don't need all of that. Mm-hmm. So I am going to do that part.
All right.
But
keep us posted. Keep us posted. Let us know how that goes for you.
Yeah, and if you have any information, could you occasionally update? I do enjoy listening to you.
Sure, we'll do that. We'll do that, Sandy. Thank you very much.
All right, hon.
All right.
Have a nice day.
Yeah, you too.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. So Sandy wants to get some privacy from the Google, and we'll see how that happens, and maybe the state can help out. Feel free to get online. We're here till 11 o'clock, 800-966-WTIC. 522-WTIC are the numbers. So right now, we have four lines wide open. Also want to quickly bring up, I guess, our resident groupie, Danny, may not be with us anymore. And I just want to say you know, we're going to miss him, and it was a great caller. It was fun to have him on. And it's anecdotal. I assume it's correct information. So I just wanted to say, you know, we're thinking about you, Danny, and hopefully you're able to rest in peace.
Yeah, always fun to listen to when he was on. So
he always gave me a nice hard time. All right. So as we're continuing on, let's go on with some news here as we wait for some calls. The phone is ringing there, Joey. I know the ringer doesn't work in there. Go ahead.
Well, we have a little problem out in Texas in some of the big cities.
Oh, boy.
You know how they have parking meters that you can actually pay right there with your smartphone?
Right. Yeah, we got to make sure the towns get their money.
They get their money, but being able to just pay the amount that the parking meter wants without having to walk around the chain, shove it in. You're done. You
Very
park.
Convenient.
You walk away. It's cool, right?
Yeah, right.
Well,
uh-oh.
There's a little tiny problem in some of these cities.
Oh, boy.
Somebody has been putting up QR codes on these parking meter kiosks.
Covering the QR code that's already there.
Well, actually, in some cases, there isn't one that's already there.
Oh, even
They're
better.
Just sticking it right on in
Perfect.
Addition to whatever markings are there.
Yeah,
And they're scammers, and people are using these QR codes to sign up and pay somebody.
Somebody else.
Whoever else.
Yeah, with their credit card. So they're giving them all the credit card information
on
top of that.
Now you've compromised your bank account, potentially, depending on how you're paying.
Oh, right, right.
And it's getting to be a problem. It's happening in Houston, Austin, and San Antonio.
Just assume it can happen anywhere because it's easy to do, right? You can easily create an app and it's there for you. And the Google Store and the Apple Store have issues with being... You know, they don't know if their parking app is legit or not.
It's possible that the QR code might invoke an app that already exists that's bona fide, like Venmo. It could be sending them. I don't know. I'm just guessing at this.
You need to have a lot of imagination.
The story that I've got doesn't really go into that. Although there is a website domain that ends in the infamous XYZ top level domain.
Okay.
And we always know that that's just begging for trouble.
Yeah.
At any rate, the city of Austin has said they don't use QR codes themselves for this very reason. They can be faked.
So they need to put a sign on all of their things to say, don't follow any QR codes.
Use the actual kiosk, please. Thank you.
Ay, ay, ay.
And I mean, it's great that we have this convenience, but the bad guys are out there and they're constantly one step ahead.
Oh, yeah. I'm down in Florida using those types of things. And there's the parking meter's right there and it tells you to take a picture of it. And you get the app and you get it on there and you get all your stuff all under your arms. You got all the chairs. You got the kids banging on you. And you're like, okay, I'll put it in there. You don't know what you're putting in. So, yeah, always be wary. And then, of course, these poor people are going to get a parking ticket on top of it, even though they paid.
Right, they paid somebody and they trashed their credit card or something.
Right.
And then they got a parking fine, too.
There you go. Technology's here to help. Let's go to Sal in Enfield next. What's happening, Sal?
Hi, guys. Hey, long-time listener.
Oh, thanks.
Still not a computer geek, but I've learned from you guys.
Great.
I've talked to you guys about fiber before because I noticed in Enfield that they were putting in fiber.
Yeah.
So now I get a thing from Frontier. Okay, Frontier Fiber Optic.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so right now my wife and I, we have Frontier with internet and the landline.
Yeah.
And we got this double play thing with internet power, digital voice, $75. Long story short, total of $95 a month.
Wow. What's your speed? What's your speed for $95 a month, Sal?
How do you know that?
Go to www.speedtest.net.
Okay.
And that'll give you your download speed and your upload speed. So you're spending $95 for what? And why do you have a landline?
I don't know. Just old school. So we were just talking about that this morning. So
good. Get rid of it.
Just looking at the amount of action on it, we have like 17 calls with the landline. So
yeah.
All right, so long story short with this thing here. So they got this thing going on, $59.99 per month for 36 months.
Mm-hmm.
Wired speed 940/880 mega whatever.
Oh, that's practically a gig speed.
Yeah, that's not too shabby.
Okay, so it's a one-year agreement, an early termination fee apply. Wi-Fi actual and average speeds vary. It's a 3-year price guarantee.
Yep.
Then it says something about a Hero Pro 6.
Right, for your Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Then they give you a $200 Visa card. So.
Well, be careful on that. I've seen some things on the old Facebooks about that. You need to make sure you keep your email open because that card won't come to you for 100 days. So, right. And if you miss it, you're not going to get it. So pay attention to your email. But so here's the snag, right?
Yep.
You're going to be buying a gigabit connection for your home. And if I bet you, if you do your speed test now, you're probably getting 20 megabits. So 20 versus 1,000 is probably the difference here.
Okay.
It's unnecessary, right? So you want to ask for the lower speed because when that contract changes and they say, oh, well, you're getting a gigabit there, Sal. Here's why it's $300, whatever it's going to be, right? They're going to base it off the bandwidth you went with. So you can lower your bandwidth very comfortably and won't even know the difference to, 250, 100. I mean, how many people are in your home?
There may be like three or four that are on,
Right. Are they happy with your speed now, those three or four?
I mean, I don't really see a big problem. I mean, because I do quite a few things I'm a justice of the peace, so I do ceremonies and have a lot of stuff out there.
Sure. So if you did a speed test then, Sal, and your speed test came back at around 100 megabits, the fiber is a better solution.
Yep.
And if you could get them to give you a $25 or something, reflective of a smaller bandwidth, so that when the deal ends, you're not whacked with a big bill, which I'm not going to hold my breath that you're going to get the same price. I suspect it's going to go up a bit. Probably noticeably.
You would almost have to.
Yeah.
Okay, so what's a good speed to, that we, like if I did it now, what's a good speed that, like an average so that I could like just say, okay, this is what I want?
Well, that's why I asked you if you're happy now. Do a speed test to see what you got now.
Okay.
And if you're getting X, ask them for a multiple of, 50% or 100, even 100% of what you have now and see what that price is.
Okay.
Because if they don't give you that option, ask them then after 3 years, what it's going to cost you to be at 1,000.
Okay.
I don't even know if they have to disclose that, but that's kind of what you need to know, right?
Yeah. Okay. So, I know you guys are big on go net speed and it's like, all right, I even tried to push it forward a little bit on, the forums over here in town, but whatever.
If they're not there yet and they're not in your area, I understand why you'd want to go to fiber's a way to go. And the price is right. It's just watch out for that 3-year expiration. The great thing about GoNetSpeed is their prices for life.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the hitch that could get you with Frontier. I mean, you pay a great price for great service.
Right.
But then 3 years from now when that price is up, what are you going to pay? You don't necessarily know.
Okay.
All right.
Well, hey, thank you very much, guys. I appreciate the info.
You're welcome, Sal.
Okay. Bye now.
Bye-bye. And they're kind of banking on the fact that the customer is going to be like, well, geez, I don't want to lower my speeds. That doesn't sound right. I don't want to lower it after 3 years to lower the price. It's a mental game with it because, again, a 1,000 megabit connection for a home.
That's overkill.
It's crazy.
Absolutely overkill.
It's massive overkill. You're going to end up paying way too much. So it's great for a business if you can get a business one.
Yes.
Not so good for a home. All right, continue on, Joey. Right, no break time. Would you want to say something? Because you got to go NetSpeed. He's got his headphones on.
Yeah, well, I kind of to the whole point because we're kind of. I know someone who's going through this now. Like they have Frontier, but they're upgrading their service.
Right.
So it's ironic that his plan mentions the modem and the router and stuff like that.
Right.
Well, those once you're getting to the gig speed, those devices usually cost a little bit more too. So if you're not getting the gig speed, he's getting to 100, 150, right. You might be able to save a little bit too on hardware.
You're right.
Yeah. Even excellent point. Yeah. Excellent point.
Yeah, that's why he's on the payroll. All right. So keep going, Joey, or take a break. What do you want me to do? All right. Keep going. We're going to go to Joan in Weathersfield next. What's happening, Joan?
Hi.
Hi.
I'm interested in buying a new router because mine, I think, has probably been around for too long and it feels like it's a little bit shaky. And I was just wondering what you might recommend. My place is about 1,200 square feet, and it's upstairs, downstairs. And it's a attached condo on one side. So okay. I was looking, I don't know. Right now I have a Netgear, and I like it. But I know there are others. I know I looked around a little bit, maybe the Netgear Nighthawk or I don't know. Anyway, I was just wondering what your recommendations might be.
I like the Netgears. I like the Linksys as well. I've had some good luck with that myself. You know, anything, and it depends on how much you want to spend. It sounds like you don't have too much space to cover there. So as long as the router is up in your area where you live, and you know, you've kind of treated it like your coffee maker, like it needs to be treated as if it's the most important appliance of your home these days.
Yeah.
So get it up in your living area. If you spend, you know, anywhere around $200 on a Netgear or a Linksys, I think you'll do well for that space.
Yes.
Okay. Now I've heard that the Netgear are a little bit harder to get up and running.
Well,
that would be news to me.
Yeah, really? Yeah, it's pretty easy.
I've set up quite a few Netgear routers over the years. Okay. Though that and Linksys and Cisco, a few others.
Although he is a professional.
Right. No, I'm talking about home routers.
No, I know you are. Oh, that's true. So, well,
that I've helped set up for my friends.
Okay.
Right. And but you have a lot of background and knowledge. About
it's typically, the last time I did one was just about a year and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is when you power it up, if you have like a laptop connected to it or something like that,
yep.
It goes through a wizard and it just leads you through all of these questions about how to get it going.
Nice.
And when it's done, it reboots and that's it.
Password changes required?
Yes, good. Because it will tell you to change it. Also, it comes, at least the Netgears do, mm-hmm. come with a prepackaged, burned-in password that's unique to the device.
Oh, that's good.
Yes, and it will be on a physical sticker on the router, and that's you good. Can leave it alone if you want and mm-hmm. just use
yep.
that,
Yep.
and it should be secure, but I still advise that you create your own.
Yeah, very good.
So that's all that it is. You just go through a wizard, it asks you different things, and then, like I said, at the end it'll reboot, and mm-hmm. then it goes.
Yeah.
That's it.
What do you have for a modem, Joan?
You know, I don't even know.
I don't remember. It's okay. It might come from your internet provider, and that's fine. But yeah. if you're out there buying stuff, mm-hmm. you may want to consider looking to see if you're renting that modem, because you can save a lot of money if you went and bought your own modem for the service you're using.
Okay. And is there one that you would recommend?
In this case, I always recommend whatever the internet provider recommends. So if you go to a Staples and you say, hey, I've got Cox or Comcast, they're going to have Cox or Comcast recommended modems. Don't okay. try to find, quote unquote, the best modem out there. Just find the one they recommend okay. so that you're not going to have an issue. And then you're going to have to call them up, give them the MAC address, and you're going to then drive your modem to their place, and you're going to get your discount on your bill, hopefully.
Okay. Okay, I mean, just because I'm upgrading the router doesn't necessarily mean that I have to upgrade the modem.
It does not. Right? It does
okay.
not.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, one problem at a time. I understand.
Yeah, and just out of curiosity, I mean, do you recommend the combined modem routers?
No.
Okay, I don't either, but I was at Best Buy last night, and that's what the guy said he had, and I said, oh, that doesn't sound like such a good solution.
Nope.
Right, okay. Just wanted to...
No, you will always get better performance out of both if they are separate.
Okay.
And you also have the option of replacing either one right. separately
yeah.
if there's a problem or if you just decide that you want something a little better.
Troubleshooting is easier as well.
And yeah,
you
that
can have
too.
The modem in the basement if you want, and you can then run a Cat5 cable up to your router located mm-hmm. up in the center of your living space.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, then.
All right.
Thank you so much.
All right, Joan,
yep,
good luck.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. I think Joey's letting me go to the top of the hour, it feels like, huh, Joey? 58. Okay. So feel free to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. And as we wait for your calls, what do you got there, Dennis? You want to bring something up?
Well, we have a problem that Microsoft had this week. As we know, it was Patch Tuesday this past Tuesday. And Microsoft yep. released updates for all their current operating systems. That includes Windows 10, Windows 11, and a whole raft of different versions of Windows Server.
Yes.
And interestingly enough, some of those server updates weren't actually very good.
They're awful.
Can you imagine that, Eric?
I can, and it's ridiculous. It's and disgusting.
What happened is that these servers would actually go into boot loops where right. it would start up, it would get to Windows,
yeah,
and
Joey
then boom, it would restart.
Now, that's not a good thing if you're a business or any company, whether your server's in the cloud or on-prem.
Right.
If they updated, this would occur. Your Hyper-V server would have the same issue no matter where it was sitting. And, of course, they recommend you stay current. And, of course, all of our technologies out there for our clients make sure that happens.
Yes.
So when you have many, 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 many servers that have the update, what happens in the morning?
You get all kinds of problems, many calls. It's a big deal.
Big nightmare.
And then another problem with some of these updates was the Hyper-V service that lets a machine run a lot of different virtual servers.
Right.
That was just shot. So the server would be up and running,
right,
but all the virtual machines that you need never start.
Right.
And you effectively have a powered up brick sitting on your floor or on your rack or wherever it is.
Yeah.
And
or in your cloud or in your data center. You make sure we add all the areas where that piece of hardware will sit. Well, that's where it happens.
Microsoft actually went through the effort of removing those updates, and then apparently they've released them back.
Fixed?
So I hope that they're fixed.
Yeah, I hope.
But I'm just going to ask you, Eric, do you think those updates are fixed?
I would say no. I mean, is it they're a multi-trillion-dollar company that is okay with sending out product like this to us? I feel like we're victims of Microsoft all the time. You know, we just want to have our systems work, man. We just want to be able to do our CRM. We just want to go and have the ability to schedule our patients. We just want to be able to calculate if we're making money or not. And all Microsoft is the operating system below, and they don't test it to see if it's going to cause a problem.
In answer to the question that you have and millions of people do,
millions,
they
literally
no longer have the quality control operation that they used to. It has been shut down.
And when you consider what it was when
five or six years ago,
goes back to many versions. I mean, when would you say would that be? Maybe Windows 3.1 was maybe when that was the time they had quality control. I don't know.
Actually, they did back when Windows 7 was current.
Okay, cool. All right. Well, we can tell we're very bitter and jaded. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. We'd have a lot more hair, Dennis, if we didn't have all these Microsoft issues.
Well, you better believe it.
Feel free to get online. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.